He reached down, picked our souls out of sin, washed us and filled us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We'd like for all of you to stand. Now, do all of you have your cards? All right. This is very important that you have a card. Okay. Now, we will repeat tonight in taking the pledges, because we have a good number of people that come on Sunday evening that are not able to come on Sunday morning. And, of course, we have all of our teachers and classes and such that are not involved in this service. But it is really an honor to have with us Brother and Sister Lehman. As I had stated, I've known Brother Lehman since 1968 when I moved to Wisconsin. He was such a great friend to us. We had great fellowship with the Lehmans down through the years. We have stayed in contact with them. He's been such a valuable person to the Foreign Missions Division of the United Pentecostal Church, serving there for 35 years and then retiring, but not really retiring. He's still on the missions board. He travels quite extensively in raising funds and then also making missionary trips. We love Brother and Sister Lehman, and we want to give him a warm Madison welcome to the pulpit. Brother Lehman, come on. God bless you. So good to have you.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm glad to be here. You know, God is so good. He is so good. In fact, someone sent me a little amusing story, but you know, in a way it's amusing. In another way, it just shows how God answers. Told about a lady who was at work, and she got a phone call that her daughter was very sick, and the babysitter wanted her to come home as soon as she could. And so she, on her way home, she stopped by the drugstore to get some medication and locked her keys in the car. Came out, and she was wondering, called the babysitter and told her, said, I've locked my keys in the car and I can't get it open. She tried to use a hanger and didn't know how to do that. And she just prayed. She said, oh, God, she said, send somebody to help me. And she said, about that time, there was an old car pulled in the parking spot, and a man got out. He looked shabby. He had an old skull cap on, and she thought, God, is this what you have sent to help me? And the man came over, and she said, oh, sir, she said, I've locked my keys in the car. Could you please help me? Well, he said, I believe I can. And so she said, in just a matter of minutes, he had the car unlocked, and she looked at him and thanked him. Oh, she said, you are such a nice man. And just went on and bragged about it. He said, lady, I am not such a nice man. He said, within the past hour, I just got released from prison for car theft. He left, and she said, oh, God. She said, I thank you that you even sent me a professional. Our God knows exactly what you need and the time you need it. It's so good to be here, and we certainly love your pastor and his family very much. And he mentioned about our years of knowing each other goes back several, and they have been good years. Now, I want to also say something about this church. Before ever Brother Grant, in fact, it goes back to the days of Jack Yonts. You know, this church originated Christmas for Christ. And I was starting the church in Wausau. And Brother Yonts invited me to come down and speak to a Christmas banquet where they were receiving Christmas for Christ money. Now, this was before it was on the national level. It was just local. We needed tires on our car, and we certainly needed an offering because we were starting the home missionary work, and this church provided both of them. I have never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that because of the kindness of this church. When we had a need, God already knew who could provide it and supply it. And this church did it. And I really thank you for that. I've never forgotten it. But it's a joy to be here today. And this is really a missionary service. From the standpoint that the commission was given to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Jesus gave that commission. Now, if you can't go in purse, would you consider going in? If you can't go in person, if you can't go in person, would you consider going in purse? They do go together. And so we're talking about the purse this morning. And I believe we have a little Bible to back it up. For example, there are some 500 scriptures in the Bible on faith. There's some 500 scriptures in the Bible on prayer. But there are some 2,200 scriptures in the Bible on stewardship and giving. And I don't think that's an accident, because it does take money to get the gospel local and foreign. And that's what we're involved in. We have been given the responsibility to help get this gospel around the world. And I trust that the Lord will speak to us this morning, all ages. Now, I know some have already left, but we'll get them tonight. I believe God blesses all ages in their giving. And Jesus gave the commission. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said this: "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So there is blessings from above when we give. Now, I know we've just come through Christmas, and probably some of you spent about everything you had, but really, give God a chance to bless you. Give God a chance. Now, before you're seated, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 10 and reading one verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 10 and 1. It's a brief Scripture, but it is very powerful. Brethren, and this was written by the Apostle Paul 25 years after his Damascus Road experience. And it reads like this: "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And my subject this morning is my heart's desire. My heart's desire. You may be seated. Now, desire, the definition in this particular scripture is that which would give the heart full satisfaction. You know, we can have many desires in our life as we grow. You know, we could just ask the question, what is it that I desire the most? Is it a better job? Is it a pay raise? Is it a new home? Is it a new car, a new boat, a new gun, to be a better golfer, a better fisherman, a better skier? You see, there's a lot of things that could be in the forefront of our minds saying, that is what I really want. But on the spiritual standpoint, we could say, well, I desire to have a renewing in the Holy Ghost, a closer walk with God. I desire to be a soul winner. I desire to please the Lord. So what is it you really desire today? Is it in the natural? Or is it in the spiritual? Now, the greatest achievements in life are usually accomplished by people who have a singular desire that becomes the ruling passion of all that they do. Now, what is your singular desire? For example, let me just give you two or three illustrations here. When baseball player Bob Feller was a child, he loved to throw a ball. By the age of 5, he spent hours every day pitching through the hole in the side of a barn. At age 12, His father bought him all the necessary equipment and provided him with a playing field on the family farm. At 13, he pitched for a local team and averaged 20 strikeouts a game. That's pretty good at age 13. At age 17, he became a professional baseball player playing for the Cleveland Indians. As a major leaguer, he had 6 seasons as a 20-game winner. He is a member of the Hall of Fame because he had one desire, and that was baseball. Bob Fischer loved to play chess. And at the age of 6, he fell in love with that game. And at the age of 13, he was the junior world champion. He won 29 world champions and died at the age of 68. And someone happened to just bring up the thought, there are 68 squares on a checkerboard. Now, he had one desire, and that was chess. And then there's another name that we've heard of that we thought they had one desire, and that was Tiger Woods. Need I say any more? Well, you know, men who are full of hunger and desire are those men who refuse to quit regardless of the obstacles. They will work through the ups and the downs. But this desire challenges them day after day. You know, something of that same focusing of life can be seen in every Christian who has been used of God in a special way. For example, just go into the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It is full of heroes, men who had one desire. They're listed in God's Hall of Fame. There was Noah, there was Abraham, there was Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Samuel, those in the Old Testament, and then you can go to the New Testament, and there are many in the New Testament who had one desire, and that was to please the Lord. Now, you know, we're living in, you know, this is a space age, and there was one astronaut on the Columbia mission that had one desire from a child, and that was to be an astronaut. He dreamed it. He practiced it. He dedicated his life for that purpose. But the Challenge disaster took his life. And you know, even looking at each one of us today, we all have desires that change as we grow up. You know, as a child, we are wanting to go to school. And then after we go to school, we're glad to get out of school. But, desiring to learn, desiring to be on the honor roll, graduation day, your first car, your first date, your first job, getting married, your first child, owning a home, on and on and on it goes. But turn the coin over. There are many, and no doubt sitting in this congregation this morning, you have a desire to be saved. You are not content. You are not satisfied with life itself as you're living it. There is a desire to be saved, a desire to lead someone to the Lord, a desire to see the lost saved. You see, as you grow older, again, the desires change. You know, the Apostle Paul, and I read the 10th chapter, verse 1, where he said, "My heart's desire is to see Israel saved." Now, that was written 23 years after his Damascus Road experience. He had seen many things. And during that 23-year period, he had been an evangelist. He had been a teacher. And during that time, Paul had days of encouragement, days of discouragement, days of disappointments. He would preach and then no response. And then he saw many drifting away from the Lord. And as you read many of his writings there in the New Testament, you can see where he was working with everything that was in him to see the lost saved. And then, you know, when God gave him the revelation of the oneness of Almighty God, you know, that just enveloped him. It just swallowed him up. Because as you read his writings, you will see where he is endeavoring to reveal the mighty God in Christ. He is endeavoring to explain to mankind who Jesus is, why he came to this earth, why he died, why he resurrected, why he ascended and said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back one of these days. And so, but it is my desire, and I'm sure that it is many desires throughout this congregation this morning. I desire to be saved and ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our desire. You know, Paul had that desire overwhelm him until he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He writes several verses in chapter 11, verse 24. The apostle Paul tells all that he went through to see the lost saved. He said, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the brethren, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of, I mean, he goes on and on and on. All that he went through to see the lost saved. But he was just swallowed up with that kind of desire. Now, Paul had a desire to see Israel saved. And he knew there was a way to get it done. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13, it reads like this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then following that verse of scripture, he asked four vital questions. Verse 14, he said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The next question, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The third question is, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And then the fourth one, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good joy. Here lies the key to reaching our world. In those four questions, you see, we preach the message this world is waiting to hear. Not a message. We preach the message this world is waiting to hear. It's not a social gospel. It's not just an average day gospel, but it is a life-changing gospel. You see, this gospel is good news if it gets there in time. That's why we send missionaries. Our missionaries, they get a call. God moves on their heart and they say, I have got to go. I've got to carry this message. I've got to carry this message of truth to those that have never heard. And you see, but again, this question, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You know, it's not that they don't want to believe, but they haven't had a chance to hear because there hasn't been a preacher that has been sent. I like the motto of the United Pentecostal Church. The whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. You know, several years ago, wife and I were in El Salvador. We were there for a conference that was going on. And when I walked in the auditorium the first night, the pastor, the missionary's office was just to the right, and I walked in the office, and there were many ministers in there. But just as I walked through the door, to my left was a map of El Salvador. And it had many pins on that map. And the missionary related. He said, now, these maps, or these pins, show where we have churches throughout El Salvador. And then he pointed to the north of that map where there were a few pins, but not many. And then he pointed to a particular location. He said, now we have a pastor from this location that is here at this conference. He said, sometime back, this pastor was put in prison to try to get him to stop preaching the gospel. He said, hey, I can't stop. He said, I have the message and they need to hear what I've got to say. And they put him in prison as a result that he would not stop preaching. While in prison, he had a desire to reach other prisoners that were there. And so in prison, he started witnessing to them. The missionary said he was only in prison for 30 days because he was having too much effect on the prisoners that were in that prison. And they said, as of this conference, they had baptized 8 guards that guarded that man while in prison. He was pretty effective. He was pretty effective. God had put a desire in his heart. You see, a number of years ago, there was a businessman in Texas who had come to the Lord, and he was in a church that we were in at that time, and he told me, he said, Brother Lehman, he said, I want to explain to you what the initials UPCI mean to me. UPCI meaning United Pentecostal Church International. He said, to me, that means that we are universally proclaiming Christ's identity. I really like that. We are universally proclaiming Christ's identity. That is why we send missionaries around the world and let them know who Jesus is. That is our desire. Now, you see, this is a very powerful gospel that we preach. Look at the great revivals that are taking place around the world. And then, you know, the missionary out of this church that you're going to hear from next week. You'll hear good reports. Because as they take the gospel, there are those that are, they've just been waiting. Oh, if we could only just get satisfaction inside. And as they preach, as they go, God Almighty blesses them. I heard one of our former missionaries, they were missionaries in Kenya, which is in East Africa. And they had gone, in fact, it's quite a testimony on their call. The missionary's name was Brother and Sister Don Eichert. They were pastoring in Prescott, Arizona, and God was blessing the church there. And during the real blessings of the Lord, God spoke to the pastor, Brother Don Eichert. I want you to go to the country of Kenya. Well, you know, sometimes God has to knock 2 or 3 times before he gets our attention. And that was the case with Brother Eichert. God kept dealing with him. You need to go to the country of Kenya. Go to the country of Kenya. Finally, one day he got down to pray. And he said, now, God, if I'm to go to Kenya, I'm asking you to send me a magazine in today's mail about Kenya. And he said he prayed that early in the morning, about 8 o'clock. And he said that the mailman would arrive about 10. He said, I looked at the clock and said, all right, God, you got 15 minutes. And just a few minutes, the mailman pulled up and put some mail in the mailbox. And he walked out, you know, slowly to the mailbox, opened it up, got the mail out. And when he was walking back toward the house, he saw that there was a magazine there. And so when he went inside the house, he tore the wrapper off and let the wrapper just fall on the floor, opened the magazine up, and the headlines of that magazine said, Kenya in Revival. And he opened it up, one article after another about Kenya. And then he said, who in the world sent this to me? And he walked over and got the wrapper up that he had let fall on the floor. The wrapper wasn't even addressed to his house. It belonged to another resident in that city. Well, God got his attention. There's no question. You know, God let him know that, Brother Eichert, I'm calling you to Kenya. But again, you know how it is. We just kind of put it off. And God kept saying, go to Kenya. I want you to go to Kenya. And so camp meeting time rolled around in Arizona. And just before the camp, Brother Eichert was thinking about, now, if I apply and I'm approved, then I'm going to have to do a lot of traveling on deputation. And God, my car just won't do it. And he said, now, God, if I'm to go to Kenya, I'm asking you to give me a car. And so at the camp meeting, another one of the pastors came up to him, talked with him a while, and finally reached in his pocket and pulled out a set of keys to a brand new Chrysler, handed them to Brother Eichert and said, Brother Eichert, God told me that I am to give you this brand new car. Now, what do you do? after, you know, after you've prayed and God sends you the magazine that you ask about, and then he gives you a brand new car. You know, he might have been trying to put God off, but I'm telling you, God blessed him after he obeyed. Don Eichert went to the country of Kenya, great revival there to this day. And following that, he went to another country, the country of Malawi, was there, and God blessed there. And finally, the Foreign Mission Board asked him to go and meet a need we had in South Africa. You see, God took care of everything that he needed. Now, you know, when it comes to faith promise giving, you see, faith promise is really faith and confidence and trust in the promises of God's word. Now, Jesus said, if you will give, I will move on men to give back to you. Now, I could stay here quite a while today just relating one account after another of what God has done with individuals who would say, now, Lord, I want to be a help to our missionary force. I want to help send our missionaries around the world. But Lord, I just don't have the money to do it. Well, this card is not asking, do you have the money to do it? But this card is simply for you to say, now, Lord, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to channel through me, Lord, as I help send, as I fill this out to give a certain amount each month? Lord, how does it work? Well, it simply works with you asking the Lord for direction. And when God impresses you, he might even speak audibly, but I haven't had too many people tell me that. In fact, most people, they just feel an amount flash through their mind, and it just keeps plugging away. God keeps impressing them that this is what they are to do. I was in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, and there was a lady there who, after the commitment weekend was over, she wrote an article for the Oklahoma District Paper. And in the paper, she related about how God dealt with her about her commitment. She said in the service Sunday morning, when the preacher was preaching, and that happened to be me, I was preaching that day, and she said she was sitting there. Now, her husband had left her. She was the sole support of her children, and things were very tight. She said, I sat there that morning and thought, God, how could I even give $10? Could I take it away from our grocery fund? But she said, I tried to figure out how I could give 10, and she said, I couldn't do it. She said, that afternoon, I got down to pray, and in talking to the Lord, God just let a peace flow through her, and there was an amount that she felt God wanted her to commit. She came to service that night. And when the commitments were received, she wrote down $50 a month. Now, that morning, I mean, $10 was no way, Lord. But that night, she had prayed in the afternoon. And God had given her direction. She filled out her card and turned it in. And then Monday morning rolled around. She went to work. And then she began to think, what in the world did I do last night? I filled out a card for 50. God, you know I can't do that. I don't have that. She said she worried Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. One of her bosses walked in the office and shut the door, and she thought, uh-oh, here goes. And he looked at her. He started bragging on her performance, bragging on the type of work she did. And she said, man, when he looked at her and he said, and today you're going to get a raise. She said, when he said raise, I hardly heard another thing he said. It was just such a shock. But later on the same day, she was out in one of the hallways, and another boss came by and stopped her and said, girl, she said, the government has just, it must have been a government office. She said, the government has just come through and said, everybody gets a raise. She said, and so I got two raises that day. She related in her article in the Oklahoma paper that by the end of that week, she calculated how much more she was getting. She said, I was getting $380 more a month than what I was getting when I made that commitment. You see, it's a matter of you talking to the Lord It's not a matter of you talking to George or Mary or Susie, you know, somebody else and say, what do you think I ought to give? No. You talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You talk to the financial advisor. That's really what he is. Jesus Christ is our financial advisor. You know, our missionaries are great givers. Some people think, well, you know, they come by and they're always begging. No, they're not always begging. They are givers. This past year, our missionary family was number two in the fellowship in their giving. The only church that beat them was Alexandria, Louisiana, which is a large church. But our missionary family was number two in the nation. They believe in what they are doing. You ask our missionaries, do you give? They absolutely give. And I've had some, in fact, I recall one of our missionaries that's on the field now. He was in the office, and, you know, a missionary travels on deputation. When they're finished, they come by headquarters office there in St. Louis, and we go through what's called a final orientation. And there, you know, we were asking and talking with them about their funds and their finance and all. And the missionary spoke up. He was quizzed as to how much do you give? He said, well, I give $1,000 a month. I looked at him and I said, you give $1,000 a month? He said, yes, I do. He said, Brother Lehman, I gave $1,000 a month when I was on the AIM program. Now, the AIM program is a short-term missionary assignment, anywhere from 2 months up to a year, and it can be extended. But I looked at him, and I was so shocked. He said, well, God just provides it. It had to be a miracle. It had to be a miracle because, you know, things like that just don't happen by accident. God Almighty. Now, you know, and then God blesses the missionary. One of our missionaries was traveling on deputation in the South. He was traveling in the state of Louisiana. And when he came home to travel, he came home and he wanted to buy a motor home. And when he checked the price of a motor home, he thought, there is no way. And so he bought a bus, and he wanted to convert the bus into a motor home, apparently not realizing what he was getting into. Well, even before he tried to get it ready to travel on deputation, never did get it ready. And so he was traveling by himself, traveling in Louisiana, and then he had problems with it. Had problems with the motor, and stopped and thought he got it fixed and drove 50 more miles, and it went out. And two or three mechanics said, you've got to replace it. He called his wife, who was not traveling with him at that time. She was in Texas. His wife, he called her and said, honey, we've got to have another motor for our bus. And she said, you know, hon, we've got to pray. We just don't have it. Well, where the wife was, the pastor there heard about the need. And so the pastor presented the need to the church. And there was one family in that church that had been saving money to blacktop their driveway. And they had saved and saved. But in the service that night, the missionary felt, or that saint felt, hey, we want to help the missionary. And so the wife and husband discussed it and said, well, let's give our blacktop, you know, let's give the money that we're saving for the blacktop. Let's give that to the missionary. And so in the service that night, they put all of it in the offering. A few days later, they came home and their driveway was blacktopped and they had not ordered it. And they thought, how in the world did this happen? We didn't order this to be done. And a few days later, the blacktop crew was two doors down, blacktopping that driveway as they had blacktopped the wrong driveway, and they got theirs free. We serve a mighty big God. But that couple had a desire to help the need that missionary had. What kind of desire do you have this morning? Do you realize that this can open up a floodgate of blessings? I mean, it can do wonders. This faith promise card, it is faith in the promises of God's word. And Jesus said, give and it shall be given. That's a pretty strong promise. And so when we say, now, Lord, what would you like to, what would you like to bless me with? And I close with this. I was in a church in Texas. I'd been there for several years. And after the that particular year, there was a family in that church. He worked on the oil rigs. And they were feeling impressed that they should give $200 a month. Right after that service, that man lost his job. They had wanted to transfer him to an area where there was no church. And he went to his pastor, who was a former missionary, and talked with his pastor and said, "Pastor, what should I do?" The pastor said, "I don't think you should go." As a result, he lost his job, but within a matter of days, he got a new job that paid him 2.5 times what his old job was. Now, I was there the next year, and that couple came up and talked to me before the service, and it was exciting to hear what had taken place. They looked at me, and they said, "Brother Lehman, we already know what our commitment is going to be this year. It's going to be 2.5 times what it was last year." Now, that's $500 a month. I talked to the pastor a few months after that and asked him, I said, "Has that couple been able to make their commitment?" "Oh, yes, Brother Lehman," he said, "and more." Why? They had a desire, just like Paul. Paul said, "My desire is that, that all Israel can be reached with the gospel. My prayer and heart's desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That couple had a desire. You say, "Brother Lehman, does it always happen like that?" No. You mean, "Brother Lehman, there's times when you don't get a miracle?" Yes. Because if you make a commitment for $10 and you have $10, you don't need a miracle. If you make a commitment for $20 and you have $20, you don't need a miracle. You need to just give what God directed you to do. If you make a commitment for $50 or $100, whatever. If you've already got it, you don't need the miracle. But if the Lord impresses you with an amount and automatically our mind says, "Oh, no way can I do that." Well, listen, trust the Lord. Have you ever read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's exactly what happens. If we will obey as he directs, God Almighty can do the miraculous. God can do the impossible. And if you want to know more, I've got a book out there that'll give you about 200 testimonies. Four different pastors have related how God blessed their church. One missionary from overseas gave and didn't know where it was going to come from. But miraculously, God provided. You say, "Brother Lehman, do you realize you're in Wisconsin and this is winter and the economy is not the best?" Hey, that doesn't matter to God. When you trust God, he will do what you can't do. He will do what you can't. God even blesses children. And I've got to stop because of the time. I got to give you one kid's testimony. Wood River, Illinois. I was there. There was a 10-year-old boy that heard the preaching that night, and he made his commitment of $4 a month. He didn't know how he was going to pay it. I don't know if he had an allowance of $4, why he came up with that amount. But anyway, he came up with $4 a month, and within the month, he got a check of $48 from an insurance company. He had been in a wreck with his mother sometime before, and the insurance company sent the boy $48. He didn't know why, but he knew where it was going. He knew where it was going. God Almighty does the impossible. Now, you have that card. You have that card there, and it says, "In dependence on God, I will endeavor to give the amount circled below each month or each week during the next 12 months for the support of the foreign mission work of the United Pentecostal Church." Now, I realize that this church also helps home missionaries. It helps various others. And that's all a part of this. And so as you say, "Now, Lord, what do you want to channel through me?" Because you can't do it on your own. You say, "Lord, you give me direction and I will obey." So this morning, would you just take, just ask the Lord. In fact, let me pray before you do it. Let's just stop a minute and pray. Jesus, I feel your divine presence in this place this morning. I know that you are here. You are talking to individuals. I believe that, Master. I know that when we say, Lord, what do you want me to commit? You will impress them with an amount that you want to channel through them, Lord God, to help send our missionaries around the world. Lord, we may not go in person, but we can go in purse, and you will honor that. You will bless that because your word declares it. We thank you for the answer. We thank you for the direction. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Just ask the Lord. Lord, this is between us. Lord, this is a commitment. I'm asking for your direction and your help. And so there it is. It's not hard to even, you don't even have to turn it over. There's amounts there. Now, the reason for the blank amount above the 200 is just in case you might want to give more than 200. Originally, we didn't have that blank on there. And people said, but what if we want to give more? We provide it. And so I don't know what the Lord might direct you this morning, but I trust that you'll give him a chance to bless you. If you'll give him a chance, he won't disappoint you. He will not disappoint you. God bless you richly as Brother Grant comes.
Thank you so much, Brother Lehman. Now you have your cards. We're going to call on our praise singers to sing. And while they're singing, if you will just bow your heads, seek the Lord. Ask God, what would you have me to do? Remember, we are just stewards. We live in houses that he gave us. We drive cars that belong to him. Everything, he gives us the ability to get wealth.